This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience?
Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative.
Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
And good morning. We are sponsored this Thursday morning, September 26th, sponsored by Wawa this morning. So we do have, as I say, first responders heading south this morning, and some of them just leaving with different task force units, canine units by the hundreds, first responders from across our region, not only southeastern Pennsylvania, but as well New Jersey, and really from across the country as they race to prepare to help those who are going to be affected and are being affected by the fast moving Hurricane Helene advancing this morning across the Gulf of Mexico toward Florida. And what we're hearing, the words threatening unsurvivable storm surges in the northwestern part of the state. So yesterday we heard our friends, you know, Tony Bruno and Miss Robin. So they're further south, obviously. South Florida, Naples, Fort Myers, that area gets spared. But we're really talking about north and west. That's the part of Florida that is expecting these damaging winds, rains, flash floods, hundreds of miles inland across much of the southeastern United States. So we talked about it, Louisiana, the Carolinas, especially North Carolina. So Helene, this is a major hurricane, and some reports say Category 3 or higher. Some reports are saying Category 4, but the warnings to evacuate, we know National Weather Service in Tallahassee forecast the storm surges up to 20 feet high and warning that this is a catastrophe. It's life-threatening.
Yeah, which is also crazy, too, when you think about Tony and Robin, because they're trying to finish the completion and building their house, you know, from the ground up. So awful timing for that, for sure.
So watching that and praying for our friends and family, you know, and even former colleagues down south, but as well all of the first responders bravely heading toward the storm, because that's what they do. They have that rescue DNA chip in them. So Godspeed.
I know everybody loves to say, I want to move south because of the warmer weather. You, Nikhail, like North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. But like with the weather and everything, is it worth it? I don't know, man.
For me, I'd roll the dice because, you know, the odds of being killed in a hurricane or...
I'm not talking about being killed.
Yeah, you know, or having your house destroyed.
I'm not even talking about that. Yeah. I just mean the... You know, these.
Well, I hate the cold. That's the main thing. Like once we turn the clocks and it starts getting dark at 5, and I see those gray, salty streets, like I go into like almost a seasonal depression. This, like, I just wait for the Masters to come back around.
These last 4 days have been awful.
Yeah,
it's just been dark
because of the transition.
Rainy. It's been overcast. Like there's no good weather. So I hear you, but like I don't know, man. It just seems like there's always these storms and hurricanes, and you have to evacuate. And I don't know.
Well, and then you throw in just the daily pop-up showers. You know,
yeah.
The come in 15 minutes, drench everything, and then it's sunny again. So yeah, it's a little annoying. You get just a little give and take with everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, that you get used to it. I worked, as Tony alluded to, I worked at the CBS affiliate in South Florida there for a few years. I loved it.
Yeah, how about that? He dropped it. Was it Wink?
Wink TV.
Don CBS, worked for Wink
TV. I know,
TV.
Way back in the day with Hoda Kotb and Shepard Smith.
What was the first name?
Hoda. Hoda Kotb on NBC Today Show.
But I heard you say something else.
No, Hoda. So these, you know, elderly folks would call in and go, Rhoda, Rhoda, tell Rhoda I love her. And we used to call her Rhoda, but she's a sweetheart. But yeah, you get used to it. And the truth is they give you the warnings. Mm-hmm. So you know ahead of time, you just have to heed the warnings.
Yeah, I'll fly back up here for hurricane season. Yeah. I'll come to Pennsylvania for that 6-week stretch.
Amen. Let's talk about Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker unveiling all of the details, some new details about the deal for the Sixers' new arena in Center City. Now, she points out this is adjacent to Chinatown. It's not taking over Chinatown. It's not in Chinatown. That's how she was describing this, because she's aware, obviously, of the opposition, because many business leaders and in and around Chinatown say this will decimate Chinatown as we know it, those businesses, the culture, etc. But she backed the Sixers' $1.5 billion proposal to build a new stadium on a portion of basically the Fashion District Mall, as it's known. Sixers want this new arena open, by the way, for the 2031 season when their lease at the Wells Fargo Center expires. So this new arena, as I've said repeatedly, it's opposed by many in the Chinatown community, those business leaders, the residents, and as well by some sports fans who are concerned about the traffic and all the logistics. So they want to hear more about that plan, as we all do. She's hailing this as an historic agreement, says it'll keep the Sixers here until 2061. So a 30-year contract, because the Sixers are financing the entire project, she says, with the majority of it going to the school district of Philadelphia. So that would offset, she's saying, offset, you know, your property taxes, yeah, which we know just went up.
30-year contract, huh?
Yes.
Wow, I just signed one of those myself yesterday.
Congratulations.
So 2031.
For $1.5 billion?
Yeah. Close to that.
Congratulations,
you got to factor in cost of living raises. So 2031 is when that arena would start. Joel Embiid's career is over at that point, because that's 7 years from now, and he's been around for a decade. Oh, God. I can't even think about it. But I'm telling you, there's just going to be so many people that I think, I know this is like a big story, but like, I just feel like those, for like at the grassroots sports level, except for those that just don't want to deal with going into Center City, I think so many people are numb on the Sixers that it doesn't move the needle from a sports perspective. But I know it's more than sports, obviously.
Yeah, and that's what she's saying, that it includes, for example, she says a $50 million, again, she's saying the Sixers, they're paying for this. So there's no commitment by the city to pay for this. That this is, she's saying, it's all Sixers. She's saying the historic agreement, as she calls it, $50 million community benefits agreement that supports nearby communities, adjacent communities, and makes citywide investments, she says, in education and economic opportunity. She says they're predicting at least 1,000 jobs generated immediately. And the mayor also gave a breakdown. It was a three plus hours in this meeting, $700 million for the city and school district, enhancements to help traffic and security. So that's the $700 million within that. She says another $3 million goes to SEPTA and PATCO, used for arena events and hopefully encouraging people to use mass transit. I mean, she went through it. So, yeah, it sounds good. But we want to, I think a lot of people are saying they want to see the details. A lot of people also dreading what would be, 6 years of this entire area under construction.
Ah, geez.
Yeah. 6 years.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, you don't have to worry. 10 years, you'll be dead.
Yeah.
So,
stop. Right. Will you stop?
You won't have to see it anyway.
No, you're right. Trust the family tree. The hell with the process. Trust your genetics, folks.
Well, that's what I'm trying to think of. In 6 years, Nick's 10-year-old daughters will be 16.
Yeah.
Twin 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
He'll be losing his mind anyway.
That's right. We'll be entering year 6 of Kamala's 2 terms.
Oh, man.
My beard will be completely gray.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember back in 2024.
I'll have had two strokes already.
Oh, Nick, come on, man.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
Nobody wants to see that.
Well, there might be a few out there.
We're just joking.
So the executive director of the Asian Americans United, they released a statement just slamming Mayor Parker, saying that the mayor is unilaterally trying to impose this project on all of us that lacks even the most basic studies on housing and rent cost impacts on small businesses, livability, transit access issues that'll impact the city for years to come between multiple years of construction and long-term damage to traffic flow and access to emergency health care. And they say that they're united in opposition. It's a very long statement, but essentially they're slamming it and saying that basically this is devoid of any facts and accountability and is an embarrassing example of poor due diligence.
Wow.
I mean, it's a long statement, but they're basically slamming Mayor Parker and her administration.
Whew.
Getting back to the weather in Florida, Pacer 2017 on YouTube writes, "Hi, everyone. I lived up in Pottstown, PA for 27 years and moved down to Orlando 8 years ago. I have gone through, I believe, three hurricanes. The Floridians deal with hurricanes like big snowstorms."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Makes sense.
Okay.
Although I would never choose Orlando. Not close enough to the water, but...
The water.
I need more coastal and more south, but that's fine.
Yeah.
So does he still have is this a second home or it's the main home in Pottstown?
I don't know.
That's my question.
Good question.
I'm just reading what he said.
there's
Greg,
a lot of...
Greg, do you have his tax returns while you're at it?
I'm trying to get to other news of the day.
Thank you.
We know that Mayor Eric Adams is in trouble. Whew. Let's talk about a storm.
Uh-huh.
So the indictment and hearing about the alleged corruption of New York's mayor. Other headlines from New York. Sean Diddy Combs' lawyer trying to explain why the rapper and wealthy music mogul had 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
They send it in bulk.
By the way,
Costco only does it in
Walmart. Play Walmart.
There's also reports that it's actually not baby oil. It's like liquid ecstasy.
Oh, even better.
I don't know if that's true or not. Again, it's some report I read online. So,
if you read it online, it's only apropos.
Can we stop getting our news from Twitter?
By the way, Suge Knight. Remember Suge Knight?
Sure.
He was on with Chris Cuomo last night or the night before discussing this. You know, he's serving. Like, he's been in prison for 10 years.
Yeah.
And he knows P. Diddy pretty well. He said this is just the tip of the iceberg.
And did you also see that Diddy's not necessarily cellmate, but within the same general facility or vicinity, did you see who his new prison buddy might be?
Who?
Sam Bankman-Fried. He's housed in the same joint Diddy's now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember with that freak off.
Remember our little crypto klepto? We haven't talked about Sam Bankman.
Sam will be going, whoo!
Uh-huh.
So P. Diddy, all of this going out, and then Justin Bieber and all of these boys who were brought to him that he could be a role model to, and it kind of... sheds new light on the term role model and all of that. I mean,
the Biebs being silent on all of this stuff. I don't think he's spoken out about any of this.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, hey, I just knew him. Nothing happened. Like we were.
Right.
I mean, there's video of P. Diddy giving a clearly underage Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
like a bottle of vodka or something like
right.
that, and he looks like he's kind of out of it.
Yeah, even
it was through Usher.
Yeah,
so he was so Combs creates Usher, who then
and that was like when Bieber was like 15.
He was a kid.
Yeah, he started before I did.
And so you wonder though with Justin Bieber, everybody was like the Britney Spears thing. Everybody was putting him down and saying what's wrong with him. And now, I mean, was he some kind of an abuse victim?
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah, this thing, we haven't even come close to scratching the surface on this one.
And we won't, because he'll meet an untimely demise, in my opinion. I think he's going to meet an untimely demise and lock up, and that'll be the end of that. That'll get swept under the rug.
If you had to guess, better chance that we ever find out the client list for Epstein or the real, real dirty details of the Diddy situation?
We're not going to find out any of these.
Okay, so you think both are...
I think Charlie and Philly, who called in last hour, was 100% correct.
Yeah,
all of these things are just like, you notice we just, it's always nut jobs, you know what I mean? Like, it's always like, well, what's his name, the guy who shot Kennedy,
Ruby,
Harvey
Oswald.
Yeah, he just a nut job, and the guy who shot at Kennedy, just a nut job.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the guy who killed Bobby Senior, right. Bobby Kennedy Senior, just a nut job. Yep. It's always just nut job.
It's just there's Ryan. Never, it's just Tom
yeah.
Smith.
There's never anything else to yep. see. Everything else is just fine.
Yep. So. Sometimes things slip through the cracks, and you got to just pick up and soldier on, baby.
Yep.
Okay.
I know we'll talk about former President Trump campaigning yesterday. Kamala Harris doing that taped interview. Joe Biden on The View yesterday morning live. We'll talk about all of that, other headlines for sure. But as far as our Phillies, we're still sponsored by Wawa, by the way, but our Phillies beating the Cubs 9-6, earning the bye week. And by the way, a lot of traffic in and around South Philadelphia, all of our sports stadiums this evening, Temple hosting Army at Lincoln Financial Field. That's at 7:30. And then the NHL, the preseason game, Flyers hosting the Islanders. That one's 7 p.m.
Boy,
a lot happening.
Temple football and preseason pucks go under total combined attendance compared to Dawn's high school football game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That'll be a riveting evening.
By the way, the first Phillies playoff game will be October 5th at Citizens Bank Park.
Are we going to be carrying any games with conflict here
probably.
On 1210?
I'm sure we probably will.
They're gonna
try and work around that. You know what I mean? Not WIP. I mean, I'm sure Major League Baseball wants to get as many eyes as they possibly can.
They don't want to go head-to-head with football.
No.
And it'll be the same day as Trump's rally, second rally in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yep. October 5th.
We'll be there. All right. So we are sponsored this morning by Wawa. Did you hear? Wawa has classic hoagies for just $6. Yeah, whether it's cheesesteak, meatball, or Italian, you can get any classic hoagie for just $6. Got to have a Wawa. You know, with my boys, we'll be there because that's a deal.
You know what's funny is we were coming home. My wife and I were coming home Sunday from New Jersey. Like, we were in, like, North Jersey. And we were like, should we stop at a diner? I'm like, nah, let's just stop at Wawa.
Yeah.
You can get, they have the breakfast sandwiches there. They have breakfast burritos there. Yeah. Anything. You can get them made exactly how you want it. I was like, yep, yeah, let's just stop at a Wawa. So we stopped at a Wawa, got breakfast.
You know.
Head home, you know.
I look back on my life. If I could add up all the dollars I've spent at Wawa, part of me would cry for spending that kind of money, but part of me feels very satisfied, and I don't regret it.
It was a deal.
Yeah.
By the way, we'll go up to 80 degrees as it's spitting outside today, but the sun allegedly peaks out at some point. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a mostly cloudy day, but 80 degrees, so we do warm up. Killing Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, can Donald Trump win the popular vote? Yes, I asked the question. We will try to answer it next on Kale and Company.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. Think the world of the Chapman family team. And you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. So maybe you're thinking of doing an update, a little makeover, just a little one. Your front entry door, that's where you can make such an impact. And right now, Chapman is offering free hardware on a new front entry door up to the value of $500. An updated front door can really change the look of your home. And of course, the curb appeal of your home, increasing the resale value. But just, I think of the look. You can change the entire look just with this one little makeover. Maybe you're looking for a single door, double door, or a door with the side lights. That's what I have. They have an experienced project consultant, a team of consultants, really. They're going to help you choose that perfect new door for your home. If you or somebody you know looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, hardware, they do it all. Give them a call, text, or call 610-431-8898. Or you can always take a virtual tour, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them, Dawn.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Donald Trump's chances of winning this election, and there's a handful of reasons, and I want to give you the two latest reasons that give me this belief that he's closer than he ever has been before. But let's just start with what we've talked about in the last couple of shows. I've pointed out how Republicans are embracing mail-in requests, and they are getting the early vote in and out in Pennsylvania up by 35%. We've also seen it to the tune of 15% in North Carolina, 5% in Florida. Those were the numbers I gave you yesterday. The GOP, the early voting turnout is way up. And also Donald Trump's polling, which he always outperforms, is way up from 2016 and 2020. And then you throw in two curveballs yesterday, courtesy of a Gallup poll and a Quinnipiac poll.
Quinnipiac.
How do you say that?
Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac?
Quinnipiac.
Oh, boy.
Quinnipiac.
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 Yep.
No, that's still
closer.
Wrong. Did I get Quinnipiac. It right? No, I didn't. It's bad.
Quinnipiac.
I used to get criticized, by the way, in Nashville for saying Titans instead of whatever they're supposed to be called.
Titans?
No, it's more like tight, but I just never could understand it. I don't know what it is. There's something wrong in my brain. So I thought this was interesting because now, for the first time, Donald Trump, according to, we'll just call it that university that starts with a Q.
Quinnipiac.
Yeah. I'll just point to you.
Just point to me.
Yes.
I'll hear.
All right, here. Let's workshop this live on the air. Okay. According to the latest
Quinnipiac
University poll, former President Trump is favored to win the popular vote, marking the first time that a Republican would do so since 2004. And then, and we'll give you some of these numbers here in a moment, looking back on 2016 and 2020, and why I don't think it's completely far-fetched. And then you have a Gallup track record poll. If you look over the last 16 years, we've talked about all these like scary, accurate prognosticators out there. Alan Lichtman, this guy, that guy. I've only lost one election since 1984. Greatest year of all time again, by the way. But they are so spot on with their voter party ID lean in regards to tracking and predicting popular vote. You're going to see it here. Phil's put the graphic up from Gallup on YouTube. So in 2008, they predicted Democrats plus 8. Obama ended up being plus 7.2. Pretty darn close. In 2012, Democrats plus 4. Obama was 3.9. He was a tenth of a point away from being 100% accurate with Gallup. In 2016, Dems plus 3, it ended up being Clinton, Hillary, that won the popular vote by 2.1, but we know she lost the election on the Electoral College. And then in 2020, it was Dem plus 5, it ended up being Biden plus 4.5. And right now, Gallup is projecting Republican Donald Trump to win by 3 points. If history is our guiding precedent here over the last four elections, Donald Trump is on pace to be the winner of the popular vote. And you say, well, that's not possible. Okay, well, you look back to 4 years ago. Joe Biden, 81.2 million votes. Donald Trump, 74.2. So that ended up being Biden and Democrats by 7 million in the popular vote. But go back to the last time Trump faced a female. And yes, I do the think the female factor is a factor here. Hillary got 62 got 62.9 million votes. Hillary got 65.8. That is what? Or 2.9 million vote difference. But if we look at Kamala versus Hillary, and this is not to praise Hillary, I think these are just facts. I think Hillary's far more competent than Kamala Harris is. And look at Donald Trump, and let's try to forecast a little bit here with just, you know, some spitballing of some loose numbers, right? Trump had 74 million 4 years ago. If I asked you today, do you think Trump goes up or down from that 74 million, knowing he went up almost 12 million votes from 16 to 20? I would argue Trump is going to go up from 74 million. What does that mean? I don't know. Is that 76 million votes? Is that 77 million votes? We'll find out. And then Harris, I think you could easily argue she is going to go down from Joe Biden's 81 million. So if Trump is up a little bit and Kamala's down a little bit, are we looking at something similar to 2016 where Hillary's 2.5, 3 million ahead of Trump? And is Trump within striking distance of winning the popular vote? And think about this. I do think the fact that Kamala Harris is a female is a factor. She's incompetent. She hides. The last 4 years that she was the number two behind Joe have not been good. Since then, Donald Trump has been persecuted. He's been prosecuted. We've seen lawfare. We've seen indictments. He's been shot at once, almost shot at a second time. Factor in all the stuff like new mail-in ballots, early voting, Republicans embracing it. I don't think it's out of the equation, and I think it's worth having a conversation on, can Trump win the popular vote? Now, if you said gun to your head, Nick Kale, right now, does Trump win the popular vote? I'd say no. What percentage chance do I give him? Maybe about 10%, 15%. I think it is possible. Because I believe after watching last night, again, Kamala Harris on television, she further squelched whatever honeymoon momentum she had. This is why she didn't go to the Al Smith dinner. This is why they don't bring her out. And I have to believe after the CNN interview, after the ABC debate, after the Oprah, I mean, right now you could actually argue the best public appearance she made was actually the debate. Think about it. She was not good on Oprah. She was not good last night. You'll hear and see that coming up. Her claim to fame right now in the public spotlight is, well, I threw out a bunch of lies and I held my own against Donald Trump on a debate stage. And I just get the gut feeling right now. And I think Stocker, maybe you were kind of in agreement with me that there's a squelching of the momentum on one side and the other side is maybe gaining some steam here?
There's a tide changing. There's so no you question feel it in my too. Mind. I definitely feel it. Will he win the popular vote? No.
Okay.
But I do think that the tide is changing from... look, and the polls really haven't changed all that much. And again, these are polls. I just, you know, like, this is... Everybody's like, why are we talking about polls? Like, it's because it's a snapshot right now. This is the information, the data that we have right now. So take that with, you know, on September, what's today, 26th?
Mm-hmm.
That's the information we have right now. So the polls really haven't changed all that much. I still stand by the fact that I don't think this election is going to be as close as the polls say.
Okay. Dawn Stensland, are you buying this vibe that both Stocker and I both have, that it's going in Trump's favor right now? And are you as willing to go as far as I am and say that it's possible that Trump could win the popular vote?
You know that I'm a believer, so I believe that truth and goodness will prevail, and I believe that he will win at the end of the day. I hope and pray that, but I worry about, think about what he's up against right now. And yesterday when we were having the conversation about voting and mail-in voting, and a gentleman named John called in and said, I've never voted early, remember?
The 73-year-old gentleman, yep.
And he said, I've never voted early. So during that after that conversation, our friend Linda Kearns, protectthevote.com, she emailed me and said, swampthevote.com. is a way to, if you go to that site, swampthevote.com, it's easy to access because it gives you the county by county. It's actually an easier site to use.
Yes, I retweeted it from her yesterday.
Good. Okay. So it's a swamp of a – you can go to PA.gov. You kind of have to go through and jump through some hoops and figure out where to, you know, where to get to the voter section. SwampTheVote.com takes you to your county.
Just one quick correction. SwampTheVoteUSA.com.
It's actually – if you go to SwampTheVote.com, it'll take you to that.
Oh, it'll reroute
you?
Okay, good. Because I want people to be able to get there, right?
SwampTheVote.com.
I mean, if we need to mention this website once a day for the next 39 days, then so be it.
And it really is. It just streamlines you to your Pennsylvania, to your county, and then it'll take you through. And it just streamlines you basically to where you can get the apply for the mail-in ballot and all that good stuff.
I'm looking at all the different tabs here. At, like you said, either one, Swamp the Vote, or with the USA attached to it at the end.com. There's a tab where it says you can request a ballot. You can check your voter registration details. You can pledge to vote early in person. You can pledge to vote on election day. And you can become eligible for a free yard sign as well. So it's very simple. There's like legitimately five red buttons you can click on. You should be able to navigate it. And I'm not great with this stuff.
And just remember, you know, before Halloween. So think about this. You can drop off your mail-in ballot in person until 8 o'clock on election day, November 5th. So long as you have applied for it before the deadline. And that's the important deadline to apply for a ballot in person for the 2024 general election. You have to have applied for it by October 29th by 5 p.m.
Yep.
So that's an important deadline to remember.
And we know Pennsylvania will be a big factor. I just saw three polls yesterday for Pennsylvania specifically, and all three of them had a stalemate tie between Trump and Harris.
Well, he took the lead in the poly market.
In the poly market, correct. The betting markets.
The betting markets. So
Yeah, Muhlenberg's poll has Trump and Harris tied at 48. RMG Research has them tied at 49. And Susquehanna has them tied at 46. I get the feeling we're going to have to wait like 32 days. I can feel a repeat of 2020.
No, we're not going to have to wait that long.
I hope
you're
right.
It's not going to be election day. Night.
Yes.
But
yes.
It'll probably be a day or two later.
All right. 855-839-1210. The cut sheet is coming up next, which will include Joe Biden on The View, Kamala Harris, and Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC, and all sorts of other goodies. Stick around. One of your favorite elements comes up next.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Almost on time, which is an improvement over the last couple of days where we've started this segment 10 minutes later. Let's get to a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for $369 per month. Down payment, registration fees, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, let's start with Kamala Manlama. On with Stephanie Ruhle last night. Obviously, this was taped and edited. She was on a 4 p.m. show promoting it, and, you know, it was probably taped 3 days prior. We played the clip earlier of Stephanie Ruhle not satisfied with Kamala's answer on the economy. I want to play this again. This is Cut 15, Phil. So she goes on Nicole Wallace's show earlier in the day to promote this, where she plays this clip about the economy, which was basically the point of the entire interview. And she gives kind of this weird answer, and even Stephanie Ruhle, who we know is voting for Kamala Harris, is not satisfied with said answer. So we start with the answer that she gave, and then her explaining it right after. Cut 15, Phil, go.
How do you find that line to make sure corporations are paying their fair share, but they're not leaving our country?
Well, listen, I work with a lot of CEOs. I have spent a lot of time with CEOs, and I'm going to tell you that the business leaders who are actually part of the engine of America's economy agree that people should pay their fair share. They also agree that when we look at a plan such as mine that is about investing in the middle class, investing in new industries, investing in bringing down costs, invest in entrepreneurs like small businesses, that the overall economy is stronger and everyone benefits.
Talk about that answer.
I do, but here's what's a little tricky. She doesn't answer the question around, if the GOP is controlling the Senate, if she can't raise corporate taxes, where is she going to get the money from, is, you know, to expand the child tax credit and do all the things she wants to do? And she says, we just have to do it.
All right, I'm going to answer this a little bit differently than I did earlier this morning, because I've heard so many anti-Trump people talk about, and you see it in the ads. My mother-in-law brings it up. She always talks about the tax breaks that the big billionaires and the corporations are getting. And you know what my response is? I've been thinking about this for a long time. I don't care what they get, because I don't care if Jeff Bezos gets taxed 1% or if he gets taxed 50%. His taxes do not impact my life. What I care about from the economy and taxes is whose administration was I better off under financially? What was the because I live paycheck to paycheck, just like 95-99% of our audience. So I like this obsession with, well, this bazillionaire didn't. That's just unfair. Does that make you feel better about your own personal situation? Because it doesn't really impact my life. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's kind of where I'm at with this nonsense with the economy and who's getting taxed what. I only care about myself. That might be a selfish answer, but you know what? That's all I can control. That's all I can worry about. I can't lose sleep over what bazillionaires are getting whacked for.
Cut 16, Phil Harris on the top economists in the country say that Trump's economic plan would result in inflation and a recession. Cut 16, Phil, go.
Over the last 4 years, there have been tremendous economic wins, and you've just laid out a big plan. But still, polling shows that most likely voters still think Donald Trump is better to handle the economy. Why do you think that is?
Well, here's what I know in terms of the facts. Donald Trump left us with the worst economy since the Great Depression. When you look at, for example, the employment numbers,
it was during COVID, and employment was so high because we shut down the government, we shut down the country.
Even before the pandemic, he lost manufacturing jobs by most people's estimates, at least 200,000. He lost manufacturing plants. Ask the auto workers how he lost auto plants. We have grown over 20 new auto plants. He has an agenda. Let's just deal with it right now going forward, not to mention what happened in the past. He has an agenda that would include making it more difficult for workers to earn overtime, an agenda that would include cutting off access to small business loans for small businesses, an agenda that includes tariffs to the point that the average working person will spend 20% more on everyday necessities and an estimated $4,000 more a year on those everyday necessities, to the point that top economists in our country, from Nobel laureates to people at Moody's and Goldman Sachs, have compared my plan with his and said my plan would grow the economy, his would shrink the economy. Some of them have actually assessed that his plan would increase inflation and invite a recession by the middle of next year.
Okay, see, that's where Stephanie needs to fact check her, because Goldman Sachs and Wharton Business are not saying Kamala's vision for the economy is better. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
And they have come out and said
they
that.
They have. They fact checked
that. So that to me is... But go ahead, Don. Jump in.
I'll just fact check it. Looking up even labor statistics, the NAM, the National Association of Manufacturers, as they talk about manufacturing jobs lost, 24,000 just lost this past August. I mean, you could look up the numbers for yourself. And remember that we had as well, we have a part-time worker situation where we've lost a ton of jobs. When she says we've gained in jobs, we did lose a ton, and then they were replaced basically by part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. So the follow-up that Stephanie could ask is, well, were those jobs full-time with benefits jobs?
Right.
The answer is no.
That is correct. It's also a double standard, so she won't acknowledge Trump of COVID the last 9 months of his presidency, but yet the entire first 2.5 to 3 years of their presidency, they keep relying and falling back on, well, we're bouncing back from COVID, it was the worst pandemic in human history, blah, blah, blah. But if Trump's policies for the economy are going to be so bad, why have you been copying them? You've kept his tariffs in place. You've taken his child tax credit and tried to bump it from $5,000 to $6,000. You wanted to take his policy on no taxing of tips. And the other policies that are not Trump policies on the economy are failed global policies. So again, when Wharton and Goldman Sachs or Moody's or any of these other financial whiz people out there are saying, eh, no, actually, we never said that Kamala's vision is better for the economy, you might want to believe it.
A little bit more. This is Cut 17, Phil, talking about the solution for housing prices and the cost of living. Cut 17, Phil, go.
Right? For people who want to buy a home, yes, getting a $25,000 kicker would be great. But it's not just affording a home. We don't have enough in this country.
You're absolutely right.
And one of the main problems are regulations and rules, strict rules at a local level. How does the federal government cut through all that red tape and get down to, I know, the suburbs of Pittsburgh and say, we're going to have to build some affordable housing here? How do you connect the two?
So you're absolutely right. So across our country, people rightly are concerned about the cost of housing. So it's home ownership, to your point. We need more supply. That is, without any question, part of the solution. Creating more supply under my plan includes creating tax incentives to work with the private sector and home builders. Part of my goal and the plan would be to create 3 million new housing units for rent and for ownership by the end of my first term. It includes also what we must do to cut red tape. You're absolutely right. It takes far too long, and there's too much bureaucracy associated with home building. And I say that as a devout public servant. I know that we have to reduce the red tape and speed up what we need to do around building. And that is going to require working from the federal level with state and local governments. And it's going to be different in different places, depending on the needs of that community, the needs of that local government, that municipality, but working in consultation and coordination and also around incentives that we can create. For example, some of the work is going to be through what we do in terms of giving benefits and assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars and looking holistically at the connection between that and housing and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
What the hell did she just say?
She said a whole bunch of nothing. She's economically challenged, and she's an installed global puppet. And this is why I wanted to say those two things, because never forget what they told you at the World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and like it. Mm-hmm. To me, yeah, you can talk about it. You know, I think we all grasp the concept of supply and demand. But this is about these big corporations that have gone around and bought up properties and now rent them out to you. The only way for the average common folk that doesn't walk into money through an inheritance to really gain wealth, well, there's certain ways. I mean, you could be as good as Nancy Pelosi and Paul are in the stock market. You could hit football picks at the right stocker does. Or you could ultimately buy a house, see that a value appreciate over time, and then get your nest egg for your retirement. And when housing is unaffordable and the American dream is not attainable and you can't, that $350,000 house is now $575,000, you're priced out. And by the way, you get no break renting. It's not like, now there's pros and cons to owning versus renting, right? Your landlord will fix this. It's not on you. But at the end of the day, you just can't get a benefit of the you can't have any breaks in renting. It's not like, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to afford that $700,000 home, but I can get a great deal on this beautiful place for rent. Rents through the off the charts right now. I mean, my apartment when I first moved back up here in July, August of 2022 was going for pre-pandemic about $1,485 a month. When I got up here, it was $2,000 a month.
Yep.
So you don't even, there's no benefit to renting. You're getting ripped off there too.
This whole notion of $25,000 credit or whatever it is
for
first time home buyers, it's the recipe for disaster.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
And it's like, not all first time home buyers, by the way. And that's
oh, there's all sorts of caveats to it, right?
First generation.
So she's trying to target individuals who are non-white, essentially. And so there's a target here. That's not going to go over well. First of all, it's not going to get passed because she has to get it passed in Congress, number one. And number two, it's just disingenuous when she's not even mentioning interest rates. And you think about inflation and interest rates obviously affects home buying and the American dream. And right now, and then on top of it, you have people who can't even afford, you know, their rent because they're putting their groceries that are at a higher cost on a credit card that's anywhere between 25 and 30%.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? You know why she can't explain this? Because she's not in the real world.
Right.
And she keeps saying Trump is rich. Well, she and her husband are rich. They are, you know, her husband, when she married him a decade ago at age 50, you know, she was a public servant, yes, making six figures, but then she married a man who's very wealthy. The two of them, they're very wealthy people. They're multimillionaires many times over. Mm-hmm. She doesn't go grocery shopping.
Yep.
She doesn't understand what that's like.
Yep,
she's never run anything.
Nope.
She's never run a business. So part of the reason that she doesn't know what the heck she's talking about is that she's never balanced a budget, not even in her own home.
Mm-hmm.
Just this notion of giving anybody money to buy a home is just we're going to end up in the same housing crisis we ended up in 2008.
Yep.
And it may look good now, but if you are like, well, I have to buy a house because I'm going to get 25 grand, and then all of a sudden you can't make mortgage payments and your house is foreclosed upon, you know, what happens to everybody else's home then?
Mm-hmm.
The value of the home goes, you know, through the gutter.
Yep.
Cut 19 on if... Where will Harris get the money if the GOP blocks raising corporate taxes? This is cut 19.
Tax credit. We mentioned housing.
Are you playing this now?
For a first home.
Hang on. Cut 19. Cut 19, Phil, go.
Corporate taxes. Or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow? Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes. And we're going to have to raise... We're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share. I am not mad at anyone for achieving success, but everyone should pay their fair share. And it is not right that the teachers and the firefighters...
Here, stop it for a second.
Yeah.
This whole fair share thing is just... It is such... I mean, the Democrats have been playing this fair share game for 100 years.
Yes. Yes, and it's more of Biden's vernacular as well. This is almost a copy and paste memorization job of what Joe said 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also to blame this corporate greed, and Senator Bob Casey here in Pennsylvania does this.
Yep.
It doesn't work because everybody knows that, you know, first and foremost, these companies, they're just passing a cost of inflation created by government, and they're passing it along to all of us, which they will continue to do.
Yep.
So if she raises the rates, you know, and that's why Trump has said he just this week released that he will reduce the business tax, and that'll go to 15%. So we saw it when he was president before. What did he do? He was spurring the economy. He was keeping jobs here. That's his whole goal. And it's really simple. And plus, he's a proven winner. We know that when he did it before, it worked, and nobody could criticize it. Everybody was like, dang, that worked.
Uh-huh. Can you keep going with cut 19 there, Philip?
Across our country are paying a higher tax than the richest people in our country.
Bill Gates just said it this week. If he was in charge of taxes, he would have paid more. But how do you find that line?
That is Bill Gates, like, I would have pay whatever you want to
go.
Yeah. It is unbelievable.
Go for it.
Yeah, I would pay more taxes. No, you wouldn't, because you have the opportunity to do it and you don't.
Yes, yes.
Give me a break,
That's
man.
That's just it. That you make the best point. Do it now, Bill.
Yes.
What are you waiting for?
Yes.
Yeah, all these people are such liars.
And by the way, she's also the current, you know, to your point, she's also the current vice president. So you could do this plan today. Show us.
Yep.
Prove it to us. Be a proven winner, Vice President Harris. Just say, hey, today, starting today, boom, we're gonna do all of this. We're going to propose this and push Congress to do this. Why haven't they done it?
Yep. Irk has also pointed out, so we're all picking up on things that are being said or not said. Irk says on Twitter, Kamala's word of the day is holistically.
Why, yes.
That's the new buzzword, holistically.
Stephanie Ruhle asked Kamala Harris, can we trust you?
By the way, can we give Stephanie Ruhle a little bit of credit so far? Like, I think relatively kind of giving pushback and challenging Kamala a little bit.
Dawn, I'll
not terrible.
Let you.
Look, I think that Stephanie Ruhle probably expected more from Kamala Harris. And so she's the saying, I think, is that you always give someone the respect of giving them a fair, tough interview, because that's showing a person respect. So I don't think she's being one way or the other. I think she's genuinely trying to ask the question, ask a follow-up. And I think even Stephanie Ruhle was a bit surprised at the fact that the Vice President of the United States of America was not explaining these things, was not answering the follow-ups. And then, as you pointed out earlier, she goes on to then criticize her. And that's what has, if you look at the headlines right now, even in the so-called mainstream media, that's the clip that Greg pulled is the one that they're playing across the board.
Where she says she doesn't answer the questions. So, if you are failing, if you're failing at an MSNBC interview,
I would argue that internally they can't be thrilled with what she did performance-wise. And if they're, you know, taking inventory of all of what the appearances that she has done. So, you know, she had her ESA next to her for CNN. She did the debate. She did Oprah. She did this. I mean, well, shut it down? I don't know.
I guess if you're the Kamala Harris campaign, you can take solace in the fact that nobody saw it because it was on MSNBC.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
By the way, can I just, I was looking up as we talk about inflation and interest rates, 30-year fixed rate, 6.75%, and a 15-year fixed rate, 6.05%. And that just went down. So at its height, it was 7.33%. That's under this current Harris-Biden administration. You look at under Trump, that same rate was 2.8% in the, actually 2.7%. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And that was under Trump. Yep. Wow.
By the way, Bryn Mawr Builders on the YouTube chat says Stephanie Ruhle worked at Merrill Lynch.
Yeah,
her TV gig.
Yeah, that was her. So when she came in, if you remember when she got her gig, it was under the business that she was a business finance expert.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying with Stephanie Ruhle. I think she just thought, These were like the basic questions.
Right. Well, if you have finance or an economic background, it's like the alphabet to you, right?
Yep. All right. Cut 20. Stephanie Ruhle asked Kamala Harris if we can trust you. Cut 20, go.
So Donald Trump is also the person who said women should be punished for exercising a decision that they rightly should be able to make about their own body and their future. So I think we would all agree that as a result of that perspective that he has about women, he also then chose three members of the United States Supreme Court who did as he intended, undid the protections of Roe v. Wade, and now, in state after state, you see laws being passed that do punish women. Laws that, I mean, most recently, a heartbreaking story resulted in a young woman dying, a mother of a six-year-old, heart-wrenching stories. And that's for the listener, much less their family. So, look, I think the thing about Donald Trump is that, you know, I don't think the women of America need him to say he's going to protect them. The women of America need him to trust them.
Can we trust you?
Yes. Yes. I am not perfect, but I will tell you, I'm always going to put the needs of the people first.
Madam Vice President, thank you for your time.
Can I ask you?
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Painful.
Is that a...
can they trust you on what? Did
she do that as a layup for her?
Yes.
Or did she do it as a...
soft exit landing.
No, like a skepticism.
No, I think that was, let me give you something of good vibes to get out of here with.
That
right?
was a layup.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah, and you cannot trust her. So let me actually just give you this little quick story in regards to trusting Harris. This was actually discovered by CNN, of all places. courtesy of what the San Jose Mercury News wrote 20 years ago in response to Kamala Harris on one issue. So you want to talk about, can you trust her? And we've heard her say, well, I'm a gun owner. I have a gun, right? Right. So I'm a Second Amendment believer. I just don't think you should have an AR-15. So the headline, so the New York Post took like a smaller version of that story from the San Jose Mercury News, which CNN just verified and reported on. So Kamala Harris once sponsored a measure to take away the residents of San Francisco's handguns. She was listed. This is back when she was the then San Francisco district attorney, where she backed a firearm confiscation measure that even made some prominent gun control advocates skittish. Harris was listed as a sponsor of Proposition H, which would have barred San Francisco residents from possessing, distributing, or manufacturing handguns. The San Jose Mercury News reported at the time, quote, San Francisco was a leader in proposing gun restrictions at the local level, and Harris never met a gun control law that she didn't like. Residents would have had 4 months to surrender their weapons if the measure was enacted, with exemptions for certain professions like law enforcement. However, several prominent Democrats, including then San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom and then U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, another former San Fran mayor, even found themselves distancing themselves from the ballot measure. If Gavin Newsom and Dianne Feinstein are distancing themselves from Kamala Harris and they think she's even too far left on things like firearm possession, like a pistol in your purse, you probably don't have to reach too far to think that she's not a big believer in the Second Amendment. Again, so can you trust her? No, because she claims to be a gun owner, yet 20 years ago, you couldn't have a 9mm.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, as far as anybody who believes in the Second Amendment, and it's pretty clear in both our Constitution, but as well in Pennsylvania, our state constitution is even more concise. I don't think those individuals who care about the Second Amendment are going to vote for her, number one. As far as the abortion issue, just to fact check it, it was Jimmy Matthews' uncle, Chris Matthews, on MSNBC. Yes. Remember? Asked the abortion question, and it was back, obviously, 2016, and said, you know, you're running for president of the United States of America. Do you believe in punishment? I believe the context was with regard to people who got a late term illegal type procedure, not at a legal place. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to remember that one. And I was trying to pull up the entire clip, but it was a back and forth. Chris Matthews was, you know, rightfully asking, you know, trying to press him on it. And they kind of went back and forth. And then he pressed him once Trump said, yes, I think there should be some form of punishment. But then Chris Matthews said, what do you mean by what punishment would that be? And he said, I don't know. I haven't thought that through. But I believe the context there was women who went, like I say, with a 9 months pregnant and went to some, which, I mean, rarely, if ever happens, quite frankly. That was one where Trump, you know, should not have answered that question because it was a hypothetical and it's so rare.
Yeah. And that ad, that soundbite is run in every
But he did
ad.
Say, he did say those words.
Yep. Yeah. By the way, I used to love back in the day when Daryl Hammond would imitate Chris Matthews on SNL.
Oh, he was great. He was great.
Can I tell you something? Chris Matthews, I know he gets a bad rap, but when you look back at some of his interviews, they age well. I mean, as far as his interviews, he was a good interviewer. And he was tough to everybody. I'll just say.
I must say, you know, I've been in his company many times, and he's always been super nice to me. So,
LaSalle College High School.
Yep. Kamala Harris took the stage after this interview in Pittsburgh yesterday and said this. Cut six, Phil, go.
We just need to move past the failed policies that we have proven don't work.
I agree. Woo! Amen to that, sister. Yes, there's the Trump ad. If you're Trump, you just play that. You don't even need to spend any money to pre-program it or edit it. Just play it in its entirety, all 6 seconds. Wow. So, but in all seriousness, is she throwing Joe's economic policies under the bus?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering, because you've been attached at his hip the last 4 years, so you're complicit in it, and I know that Veep doesn't make the policies. But again, she's so bad as an orator that we don't even know, is she ripping Joe? Is she trying to go back and rip Trump from 2016 to 2019?
I think that was her plan there. Phil, can you play that one more time? One more time, if you're able to.
We just need to move past the failed policies that we have proven don't work.
That's correct.
Amen.
I would further that by saying every progressive that has been elected in big blue cities that has failed, that has been ousted, we need to move on from that.
Yep.
Chicago said bye-bye Lightfoot, although they went further left with Johnson. Now you've got Adams in New York that's a mess. And that tweet we got earlier this week, it's not wrong. I mean, thank God we didn't get Helen Gim in Philadelphia. I'm no Sherelle Parker fan, but thank God we didn't get Helen.
I don't know. So whoever is advising her on this, like, she's obviously on script, right? She's scripted the entire time. She's on teleprompter. Whoever wrote that line should be fired.
I agree.
Because that clip is going to be played everywhere.
Yes.
We talk about that abortion line Trump said to Chris Matthews. That, like, all you have to say, you don't even have to have anything else.
Yeah.
Just have that. And then say, I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message.
Well, because, yes,
the end.
You're right. Because in this day and age of clips and limited attention span, whether things are taken out of context or not is not really even up for discussion, unless you're, you know, in our line of work where we're trying to give you the context in its full version. But, you know, for all the space cadets that have the attention span of salad dressing, they see that 4 second clip. And you're right. Kamala's probably got to go back and say, you know what? You need to do a bit. And this is where she's probably very vindictive. This is why she has I think the number was a 92% staff turnover rate in her office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She chews these people out behind the scenes. There's no doubt. I think that little subdued, like, is Kamala on something? I guarantee you behind closed doors, she's a pistol.
Phil, can you cue up cut two? So her BFF, Joe Biden, did The View yesterday, and he also gave a speech in New York City, okay? Remember, the speech is in New York City. He comes out on stage and he says this, Phil, cut to.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to Washington.
I'm sorry, can we play that one more time, Phil?
Yeah, one more time.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to Washington.
So here's what you do. You take that plus Kamala saying we have to undo the last 4 years of the failed policies. You just make that a 12-second ad now if you're Trump, and you just run those two back-to-back.
By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, which you should be, youtube.com/at1210WPHT, please hit the like and subscribe button. I see all you watching, and I see the number of likes, and it's a huge disparity. So please, everybody watching, hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button. It is all free, and it helps us tremendously. We give you this 4 hours of entertainment every day, 12, 13 hours of entertainment every day. All that we ask is for you to subscribe and hit the like button. There's a giant sign in the back of him that says New York, New York.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know where he's at.
Oh, my God.
It's Dumb and Dumber. Who's Harry and who's Lloyd? That's what I want to know.
I will get to him on The View momentarily. But first, I want to play. RFK Jr. was on with Martha McCallum last night and asked him about his alleged whatever, sexting, whatever sort of relationship he had with Olivia Nuzzi.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his answer. Cut 21, Phil, go.
So let's talk a little bit about that. I want to give you an opportunity to address some headlines, because you seem to be surrounded by, you know, scandals and old stories that keep coming up about animals and all of this. The latest one is an inappropriate relationship with a New York Magazine political reporter who was covering your campaign. It's gotten a lot of attention. So what do you say to your supporters who question your behavior and want to know what's going on?
I never comment on those kind of stories. If you want to talk about health or how to end the war in Ukraine or how to end inflation or how to end the censorship and surveillance regime, I'm happy to talk about
it. But as a person, do you have any regrets about any of
it? Like I said, I don't make comments on it.
All right. I wanted to give you an opportunity to answer it because it's been out there.
Okay.
But thank you very much for being here, as always.
All right. So Bobby did not answer it, the real Bobby, but maybe we could ask faux Bobby, who's sitting between Dawn and I right now, to answer that question.
I'm done. I'm
how
done.
How should
come on,
Bobby have answered that,
Gregory?
I'm done.
You know, actually, as we think about this, so not only do we have a Trump impersonator in Sean Farish, we have our girl Esty, who does Kamala, and Stalker does Bobby.
It's perfect.
I don't want to do it
anymore. We could create an entire presidential ticket of impersonations.
I just want to know from both of you, and I'm genuinely interested because I can see both sides. Do you think it's smart for him to like no comment, or do you think he should get out ahead of this and explain?
Well, in regards to the relationship with Olivia Nuzzi?
Yes, yeah.
Well, look, to me, like I said yesterday, whether it's Clinton and Monica, Trump and Stormy, or Bobby and Olivia, if there was no minor, and if there was no anything against the woman's will, you can call it creepy, whatever you want. They're both adults. And I think, honestly, there's probably men out there that are like, dude, good for you, Bobby. Yeah, nice scoop by you. And then there's other women out there that are like, look, you know, women out there, there's women that like older men like that. So it doesn't, it really doesn't move the needle for me. I like the trashy stuff, but does it impact anything politically?
Okay. Here's what he should worry about right now.
Yeah.
He should be more worried about his marriage. Yeah. So he should go to his wife, Cheryl Hines, who is gorgeous and fabulous, and I love her. A lot of people on social media were saying, why are you married to this creep? A lot of people didn't know, apparently, that they were married. And so I would be, you know, she had her birthday recently when this story broke. Mm. And so she was seen celebrating her birthday, and people put it out on her Instagram account, not wearing her wedding ring, and a lot of people sounding off on it. I would be, if I'm him, and it does him well publicly, worry more about your wife and say to your wife, and I believe him, that there was nothing physical, but it's embarrassing.
Well,
it's the whole, so say whatever your wife wants you to say, and say, look, I was an idiot. I was, you know, I accepted this woman's texts, and I was an idiot about it. I love my wife. Talk about your wife and what a freaking idiot you were, and say whatever it was. Confess it.
I don't even think she's saying that it was physical. I think they both.
Correct.
Yeah. Even she's saying that it was just online or whatever it is.
Not to be like, you know, a Bobby.
Sounding like an old man.
Yeah.
It was all online.
It was, but it's really icky. Yeah. And so, and did he comment on her nude photos or whatever?
Yeah.
He's
so,
sending them.
I know. It's just, it's nasty. So he should have divulged it to his wife. He should mostly, it would behoove him, apologize to your wife, confess it to the limit that you're, but ask Cheryl first. What can I say here?
I'm going to throw a quarter on the ground.
Ew.
Can you bend over and pick it up?
There it is. Bobby answering Marcus' question.
Ew.
Oh, God.
But you know what, though? Like, not to defend Kennedy because he's on Trump's team now, but these are two totally different situations that I feel like, and I'll lump Martha in with the mainstream media for the sake of this conversation. This Bobby Kennedy, Olivia Nuzzi story, I feel like the media has tried to make this the new Mark Robinson, North Carolina thing. They're two completely different stories.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
So, like, one might be a little creepy and scumbaggish. The other one's, like, really disturbing.
I agree. I agree with you, Nick, 100%. I could care less what he does in his life. Honestly, that's between him and his wife. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with the public. My whole point in this was just that the Kennedys are scumbags.
Oh, of course.
They're all scumbags. I've been saying that forever. And this just proves my point.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, if the Kennedys weren't in politics and any of them are alive that haven't died in weird fashion, most of them would be broke or in jail.
I mean, him and his brother, like, with Marilyn Monroe. I mean, dude, it is like they're legendary scumbags.
Yes.
They were both married at the time. Just, come on, man. Like, just stop with this pious behavior.
Yeah, no,
that's all I'm saying.
They're elitist D-bags.
Yes. All right, let's get to... let's get to Biden on The View last night, or yesterday afternoon. Asked about if he was forced out or not, right? He said he always saw himself as a transition president, is what he said. I mean, that's what he said when he first took office, but then... things changed. Cut seven, Phil. Go.
What have these past 2 months felt like, and are you at peace with your decision?
Well, I am at peace with my decision. Look, when I ran for the first this for my for this last term, I said that I was saw myself as a transition president.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Transitioning to a new generation of leadership. Now, I know I only look 40, but I'm 180 years old. I've been around forever.
And, got his hand on Anna's lap.
But what happened was, we're having so much success in getting things done that people thought we couldn't get done.
Right.
I found myself having used more time than I would have ordinarily to, you know, pass that torch.
He is not at peace with it. There's no chance in hell that a guy that spent half of a century in American politics is happy that and at peace that he was forced out after getting 95% and 14 million of the primary voters to say, you should be our guy, Joe. Like Trump said, no fan of his, but like the reality is the American public said they want more of Joe. Don't know why, can't comprehend it. But here's the other thing. You know, we were told, like, by all of those losers, you know, our boy on the Morning Joe show, Joe Scarborough, oh, this is the best version of Joe. In March, April, and May, and June, Joe's, he's the life of the party. We better be on our A-game when we sit down at the table with Joe because he's sharp as a tack. So on June 26th, he was, you know, ready to go. And then June 27th happens. He gets dismantled in the debate. Some of it his own undoing because he was just cognitively a mess. And now all of a sudden he's off the ticket. So there's no way that guy is able to sit there on that beach in Delaware in that little chair that he sits in and say, you know what? It's over for me, but it was a hell of a run. I actually think deep down inside, because I don't think he really believes Trump's a threat to democracy, I think he's rooting for Trump to win.
Oh, 100%.
I really do.
There's no question.
And Hillary. I would argue Hillary and Joe.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not Obama, but Hillary and Joe are rooting for Trump to win. And oh, by the way, on top of it, mainstream media needs Trump to win because he boosts their ratings.
Yep.
Well, I also think that no matter what, if we're not already in a recession, it's happening. And so I think the Democrats are looking at this and thinking, oh, if Trump gets in there, we'll be able to rip him and we'll sweep the next time around. Because that's the way the Democrats, they're already looking at
2028.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're already looking at that. And so selfishly, they're thinking about all of the above.
And also think about what the mainstream media has fed off of for 8 years. Every time Trump talks or posts, it's a story. Oh, we've got the B block filled. Trump said this, blah, blah, blah. Follow the Democrat talking points, blah, blah, blah. What happens, not that I care, but what happens to the mainstream media if Kamala Harris wins, Trump just rides off into the sunset quietly, he's told you he's not going to run again, and Trump is no longer in the news cycle, and the next Republican to come along, whether it's J.D. Vance, Glenn Youngkin, Ron DeSantis, or anybody in between, doesn't move the needle for the mainstream media. And Kamala's a failure, and they can't gang up on her in the mainstream media. How does all the talking heads on MSNBC and CNN fill in their shows?
They asked if he was forced out or not. Cut seven, Phil, go.
Mr. President, we all agree at this table is very selfless of you to pass the baton and step aside. There was a perception.
By the way,
that
can you stop
if forced in some
there for
point
a second? That's Alyssa Farah Griffin. She's the Republican on this.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
A little different than like Scott Jennings being the Republican on CNN.
All right. Sorry. You can keep going.
To Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who you have a long relationship with and accomplished many things with. Did you feel that your hand was forced? And what is your relationship with Speaker Pelosi now?
My relationship is fine. Look, I never fully believed the assertions that somehow there was this overwhelming reluctance of my running again. Mm-hmm. I didn't sense that. Mm-hmm. And although the polling, they said Biden's polling was different, the fact of the matter is my polling was about, we're always within range of beating this guy.
Yeah.
And, what I did was, I think there were, it makes sense. There were some folks who would like to see me step aside so they have a chance to move on. I get that. That's just human nature. But that wasn't the reason that I stepped down. I stepped down because I started thinking about it. You know, it's hard to think of, I know you're only 30, but it's hard to think of
It's hard for me to even say how old I am. No, I'm serious. I don't know what you're
talking about. What's that?
I give my word. It's like, holy God, that can't be right.
Why would you even cover that?
Yeah, that's the question Nancy would have for Alyssa there. I would have cleaned up the question. You don't need to preface before you get to the actual meat of the question with, oh, you and Nancy have always been blah, blah, blah. No, the question is, do you feel like Nancy Pelosi forced you out? And if you listen to all the reports, and you take them for what they are, but I actually think these are accurate, all the power players got together and they forced Joe out. Pelosi, Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, Obama, Hillary, you name it. Like this, and you can say what you want about Joe's cognitive state, but if you don't think that Joe is going around throughout his day, whatever that day might entail from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. or noon to 4, that he doesn't read and he doesn't know that, like, you know, a lot of people are trying to force his hand, you're not, you're foolish. A guy like Joe Biden with that ego, like that would be like trying to say, well, you know, a talk show host doesn't look at the YouTube chat comments or doesn't look at the Twitter mentions. We see what you guys say. We're always paying attention.
Melania was interviewed by Ainsley Earhart.
Yes, yeah. This morning.
Asking about both assassination attempts on her husband. This is cut 13 of Phil Gould.
The assassination attempts, the first one is in Butler, Pennsylvania. And you write about watching the assassination attempt on TV. And you started working and you were distracted, so you pushed pause. So you didn't see that first assassination attempt, and someone called you, I think your chief of staff maybe called you and said, he's okay, but there's been a shooting. What happened next?
I ran to the TV and I rewinded it and I watched it. I was only a few minutes behind, and something, I guess, look over me, so I didn't really see live, but maybe, you know, 3 minutes, few minutes later. But when I saw it, I, you know, it was only, nobody really knew yet,
right?
Because when you see him on the floor and you don't know what really happened.
And then a few weeks later, there's another attempt on your husband's life at your golf course. Mm-hmm. Where were you, and what was your reaction to this attempt?
I was in New York City, actually, and I saw it on the television. And as soon as I saw it on television, I called again, and he was okay, because Secret Service were great. The guys that they were with him, they were fantastic. And I think both of the events, they were really a miracles. If you really think about it, the July 13 was a miracle. Like that much, and he could, you know, he could not be with us.
It really is remarkable. I mean, if he does not move that head slightly to the right, it's a totally different headline that we're talking about in the last 70-some days. Pretty remarkable. Yeah, I just realized this as well. Not only can Greg imitate Bobby, and Dawn can actually do Melania. I'm the only guy on the show that can't do an imitation of somebody politically.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to work on that.
You should.
Yeah. By the way, it's totally a relatable moment from Melania. I think every man has been in that situation where we're watching something, we hit the pause button on the DVR, and then all of a sudden something really important happens, like in a sporting event. And we go back and we have to watch it and get caught up on it. I can't imagine what that was like for her. Although, I get the sense, and not that she's ever been, you know, over these last 8 years, although I guess you could argue when you're in the Oval Office from 16 to 20 or 17 to 20 that you're a public figure. I really don't believe, and I know we've seen some of the family members kind of step back. I don't think she wants any part of this anymore. Is my gut feeling. Again, never talked to her, never interviewed her, don't know anything, you know, beyond what anybody listening to this show does about her. Dawn, you probably know more about her than I do. Do you think she's probably not into it as much as she was in 16 or 20? Just the whole, just everything that this position entails?
Well, I think in the beginning, in 2016, because they were all surprised, you know, everybody, all the polls, everything said they were not going to win. And so in the beginning, I think that she psychologically was not prepared to be first lady, but I think she grew into that role. I think now she's released some plans as to what she would do in the future. And so I think she is tougher than people give her credit. She's not a lightweight. She's a fighter. And we've heard some of that through Barron Trump, through some of those, you know, those influencers that have the podcast and they've become friendly with Barron, what they say about her. And so I think she's tougher and stronger and believes in democracy. And you think about her background as some, and this is typical of people who are newer citizens who were not born here. In many ways, they appreciate what we have here in America and our constitutional rights more than we do, those of us born here, who understand that it's something when you're from a country that doesn't have the rights we do, the Constitution that we have. And just even sometimes if you talk to people who weren't born here, and they'll say, man, just call 911. Somebody actually comes to your aid and helps you. So at that level, I actually think she's stronger and more of a fighter than we know. But to your point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't question
that. Does she think that all odds are against her husband? And does she look at this and think about, oh my, OMG,
right.
You know, is this government going to take out my family, my son, my husband
right.
in this nutty scenario? I think it's more real to her because of her, where she grew up.
Yeah, and I could get that. I totally understand that. And the reason I ask is, remember when we were having all this, you know, speculation about whether or not Michelle Obama would run? And everything that we heard was she hates politics. She doesn't have the stomach for it. So that's kind of why. Now, I get it. Melania's not going to run for president or speculated to run for president. But after your husband was involved in two assassination attempts, like, there's got to be a moment. Like, we've even asked this on the air about Trump. Like, dude, is there a moment where, like, you know, at the end of the night, and you sit at the edge of your bed and before you put your slippers on, you're just like, oh, God, this is exhausting. Like, I have to ask the question to her, like, I mean, you know, you have a son who's 18 years old, almost lost his old man twice. Like, you sure you really want to keep going through this? Because she probably never envisioned this. Like, if you said to her in 2017, hey, 7 years from now, they're going to try to kill your husband twice in 2 months. She would have looked at you like, you know, you had five heads. But yet here we are.
Yeah, it's also interesting when you look back at those old clips, and some of these have gone viral with, especially Oprah Winfrey, of all people. And Oprah kept having him on her show. They obviously had a friendship, and she kept having Trump on her show and would say, why wouldn't you run for president? You know, and he would say, well, I don't know if I would. I'm in the business world, blah, blah, blah. But if I would run, I would be in it to win it. You know, and that's the one of the famous clips running. But So I think he was asked so many times over the years that it's ironic to me that the people like Oprah, those interviewers on late night shows, those were the people that I think got him thinking that he should run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even the Howard Sterns. I mean, everybody, if you look at all those interviews from way back in the day, everybody kept saying, why wouldn't you run? Would you ever run for president? They were all asking the question.
Yep. And now we have Howard Stern saying this.
I am woke, mother, and I love it.
She was asked about the Mar-a-Lago raid. Cut 14, Phil, go.
Raid on Mar-a-Lago. The house manager texts you and says the FBI is outside the house. They had access to my bedroom, closets, office, and rummaged through my personal items. Even searched Barron's room, you say. So how invasive was that? Did it make you angry? How did you feel?
Yeah, it made me angry. Yes. Invasion of privacy. And the way it was done. I was really surprised. You wanted to see it for your own eyes. What did it look like when you walked back in your house that had been raided? I saw unpleasant stuff that nobody wants to see it. And you get angry because, you know, nobody should be putting up with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some person, I don't even know who or how many people, they went through my stuff.
And, you know, the scary part of it is that happened late at night, right? Because it was still dark out. I remember seeing the footage on Fox of, you know, how dark it was. And all you saw were all the police lights and, you know, all the agencies, everything lit up. And so if you go back to that point, what was that, 2022? So Barron Trump was probably, what, 16? I mean, if he, and I don't know who was where at that point, but like if you're in that facility, in that compound in Mar-a-Lago as that happens, and you're caught off guard like that, that, like your heart's got to be pounding through your chest at that point. As a female, as a kid, as a grown man.
Were they home? They were in New York.
I don't remember who was there. Yeah.
Because they made sure that was the story, that they made sure that the Trumps weren't home.
When's the last time you think Melania and Trump slept in the same bed together?
Here we go.
That's my question. These are the interviews that I need to conduct.
Nick, I'm not going to ask you that question, so I'm not going to ask it of the Trumps. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not asking anybody about their marriage.
I think the men in the audience want to know.
Well, I mean, even this, guys, she's not out on the campaign trail. She's
That's why I'm saying, like, I don't think she's really into it anymore as far as, like, man, I want to. Do you think she shares the same passion of getting back into the White House for 4 more years and forget redemption and revenge? But I mean, like, I think she's probably at this point because she's much younger. What is she, 51? I mean, she's significantly
early 50s.
Yeah.
But I think that the truth is, she doesn't have to. She is such a super, she's like a rock star. And so remember at the RNC, when she showed up, I mean, people went crazy over it. And it's like less is more. So she shows up on the stage, that $1 million smile. She's just gorgeous and graceful, walks up, they hold hands, people go crazy. She doesn't have to do all that. She doesn't have to schlep on the campaign trail. And by the way, nobody asked, where's Doug Emhoff? But is she an important asset? Absolutely. Is this interview important? Absolutely. And her book is a way of promoting her family, her husband, and their family, you know, what they're really all about.
You know what I also really dislike? I can't say I hate it, but I do dislike it. I do get the sense that there's this weird animosity between all the former first ladies, between Melania versus everybody else. Remember that, I forget, it was a funeral. I forget what it was for, but Melania was dressed differently than the rest of them. And it almost seemed like she was like the odd lady out. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but she went to it because,
which is good for her.
She was invited, but Trump wasn't. And so there were a couple of them.
Yeah, they were all dressed in black, and Melania had a different color on, and it was a big story. And I'm like, would you just leave the lady alone?
Was it John McCain?
Might have been John McCain, yeah. You know,
a couple of them.
You understand why they didn't invite Trump, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, I get that.
He insulted their father.
I'm just talking about the other first ladies, the way, like, Dr. Jill and Michelle, like, they're like, oh, look at Melania. She's not one of us, right? Like, I get that vibe exists. There was another thing I was going to say, too, about about Melania. Oh, well. Joe Biden moment.
I think we have more, but I think we should break here and do the rest later.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get a big three from Dawn and then some other stories to get to today, including why is the Associated Press promoting booster shots? I want to get to that. Also, some big tech election interference, the latest with Meta and their AI chatbot, as I think that is very influential for the Utes when they search for things politically. And then also, we've been sitting on this story for a couple of days. We'll have some fun with this in the 9 o'clock hour. Why do men's brains shrink every day by 8 p.m.? Can confirm. We'll try to make sense of it as we continue. Kale and Company, stay right there.
NFL Week 4 is here. Wow. Tonight. Starts tonight, right? Dallas and New York Giants tonight, Thursday Night Football. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, you can get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet, because really, you don't. Nobody has any skin in this game, so put a little money on it and make the game a little more interesting for the Philadelphia listeners. CeeDee Lamb on the over receiving yards. This is a same game parlay that I would do. Dak Prescott on the under for passing yards. And Devin Singletary, running back for the New York Giants, had a big game last weekend on the over for the rushing yards. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD and the NFL. 21 and over, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kind of a fun story that I have to believe is absolutely true, because as a man, I think this happens to me every single night. According to a new study from the Journal of Neuroscience, you can read this story in The Sun, men's brains shrink by 8 p.m. every day before resetting overnight. Scientists discover. And I can confirm this, and we'll give you the details in a second. Because after I send out like the show sheet around 7:15, 7:30, and I know I'm done for the day, prepping for the next day's show, my brain goes kapooey. Like, I've got nothing left. Even when I'm not doing, you know, show prep during the week, on a weekend, especially in the fall, by the time 8 o'clock comes on a college football Saturday or an NFL Sunday, I'm shot. I've got nothing left on. I am totally wasted from football consumption, where I don't even want to watch Sunday night football. I'm exhausted. My brain hurts. My eyes are blurry. I'm rubbing them. I'm wiping off my glass. Like, I'm a mess. And that's assuming I'm sober, which is very rare. So this is fascinating, because when you look at this study, according to the Journal of Neuroscience, the scientists found that after they scanned a 26-year-old's brain 40 times over 30 days, and they
shrunk. Nothing.
It did shrink. A little shrink wrap. And then the man's brain resets overnight. Researchers from the University of California, Santa Barbara, say that this cycle of growing and shrinking coincides with rising and falling levels of steroid hormones, testosterone, cortisol, and estradiol. Co-author of the study, Laura Pritchett, now a postdoctoral scholar in psychiatry at the University of Penn, told Live Science that males show this 70% decrease from morning to night in steroid hormones. You can think of it almost like a pulsating rhythm from morning to night, where they say the thickness of the man's cortex.
What?
Yes. The thickness of the man's cortex.
I have a thick cortex.
Thins out over the duration of the day, which is the brain's outermost layer. And then I was thinking about, as I read this story last night, I said, where do I not pay attention the most? Like, my wife will say
on the show.
No,
I'm kidding.
My attention is off the charts for these 4 hours. Locked in. That's why I take a nap afterwards. I'm exhausted.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
The cortex of my brain shrinks at 10:30 as I'm driving home. I've thought about this with my wife, with my kids. The times where I'm least attentive, where my wife will say something and then I'll say, and she'll go, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? And it's like 8:30 at night, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. I heard like 40% of what you said. But I agree, you know, just to avoid having any conflicts before bed. You buy into this as well, Stalker?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I always attribute it to the fact of the god-awful time we have to get up in the morning.
Right.
Because by 8 o'clock, I am shot.
8 o'clock us is different than the 9 to 5 person's 8 o'clock.
I am shot by 8 o'clock.
That's
so,
right.
So, yes, my brain does turn off. Now, would it, if I didn't get up at 4 in the morning? I don't know. But
I think mine still would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the study, by the way, the co-author of it, I always look for the local connection, University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine.
Yep.
The study's co-author, Laura Pritchett, talked about the fact that women also witness daily hormonal fluctuations. So the study, if you zoom out a little bit, the study is about hormonal impacts on the human brain, which is pretty, which is fascinating to me. And I even wonder, because I have a kid with a football concussion right now, as we think, I know, it's the worst.
Uh-oh.
Like, he almost passed out when I took him to the grocery store. He has the dizziness and the whole thing.
Has he cleared protocol to return?
Oh, no.
No.
No, no, no.
Okay.
But luckily, they have the bye week, right? October 5th.
Yeah.
So luckily that's a bye. So hopefully after the bye week, he'll be better.
Oh,
but it's scary.
Oh, I know. I had 3 or 4 of them my entire life.
So you got to take care of yourself. But in this one, so in other words, hormone therapy is a thing again.
Yeah.
They're talking about it for men and women. And this is all fascinating to me as far as what else can, you know, even short-term therapies, what else can they heal?
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about all of these breakthroughs happening with regard to Parkinson's and all these other issues, and Elon Musk getting in there talking about it as well. So I think the bigger picture on all of this is gene therapy, hormone therapy. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And less invasive. I think that's where they're going with this, but they got a cute headline. They were smart to put out there, hey, guys, it shrinks after 8 p.m. Do you know what I'm saying? They were smart. It was a smart PR person.
Yeah. No, and look, I'm far more focused. Like, when my girls, I pick them up every day. I get them off the bus, take them to dance at 4 o'clock. I mean, my attention span at that point of the day, hearing about their day, all the drama, who got kicked, who was bullied, who's gossiping, the whole bit. Like, I'm laser focused on it. But if they regurgitate that story to me at 8:45 at night, like, I just can't process it. I go up to bed like Joe. I call it and I have my ice cream and I go to sleep.
Don, living with three men, do you, how often do you say something and all three of them look at you blankly and you say, you didn't hear a word I said, did you?
I'm going to go 90%.
One out of three, usually it's Michael, will hear it.
Okay.
But,
well, strength
Larry's
numbers.
Last, right?
Yeah.
So Larry bought me this, it's like a smart board. And so sometimes I'll write the point like on the smart board. It's on an easel in the kitchen just to go, hey, I said this, just documenting that I did say it. But yeah, it there's no drama though. With all males, there's no drama. They also,
unlike Nick's house where there's,
yeah, so yeah, I'm loaded with estrogen. I walk around, I'm just trying to get to the bed without being vilified.
Oh,
and it
my
only
God.
Gets worse, my
yeah.
friend.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wait till they hit puberty, if you know what I mean.
Well, they're about to because girls are and boys are hitting puberty earlier. And if you hear RFK Jr., before he was in all kinds of marital trouble, he's got his own problems. But, you know, we're because of allegedly these hormones that they put in meat and it gets in our water and all that good stuff. So they're all hitting puberty even now at like 11.
Or 10.
Or 10.
Or 9.5.
So I always say I love the fact that now on the flip, I don't have the drama, but on the other side, when I would pick my sons up and still picking up David from high school, it's like, how was your day? Oh, fine. You know, like the girls are going to tell you more.
Yep. Yeah.
So you have to get to know the girls and the girl moms in school just to find out what's happening.
We should do like a 12-10 behind the scenes
yes.
where we flip. We'll do a trade, right?
A trade.
So think about this, right? You know, Trump now
you'd
has,
be in heaven.
Trump has Elon, he's got Bobby, he's got Tulsi, and we gave the Democrats Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney. And Dick Cheney. So here's what we'll do, Dawn. I'll take Larabear and the boys. You take my wife and the girls, and we'll do a family swap for the weekend.
And then I'll want my guys back.
The four of you, Nick, will just be laying around watching sports.
Believe me, Nick will be in heaven. You'll be playing video games. Yeah. You know,
all of us will emerge with concussions.
And with the girls, I'll have them in flag football. I'll have them in sports. Mm. I refuse. That's the thing with girls. That's what you learn with boys.
Yeah.
Identity. And the identity with girls, and that's why they're messed up with social media, because it's all about your looks.
Yeah.
Guess what? Looks, first of all, it's going to make you self-conscious. And then as you get older, that fades away. And so that's why I think about guys. Think about you guys would talk about your weight or your age. I would never talk about my weight ever.
Yeah.
No woman or girl would ever. We have to stop all that stuff. And that's why we have to raise our girls differently.
You're right. 855-839-1210. Dawn's Big Three on the other side. And also, Brett Baer of Fox News says it's Kamala Harris that wants to do a Fox News debate. What is that about? Back after this, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about, you know, some of our great memories of Carline picking up the kids, those conversations. Or what about the conversations you have on a family road trip, even whether it's to the Jersey Shore or locally to an event? So many of the great things in your life happen during that conversation in your vehicle, which brings me to my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. You've earned this vehicle. Now go out and get it with a little help from my friends at Piazza. They have thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles from brands, and these are beautiful brands, Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can always stop by one of their many Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.